Welcome to Flyover Conservative Podcast with David and Stacey Whited, where we break down current events and examine culture through the lens of conservative Christian values.
You know, not to turn this podcast into a Bible study today, but it's interesting when you look at the life of David, he spent years in isolation alone, working with his sling.
Yep.
You know, practicing in isolation. And then an opportunity came with a bear. And he did his job that God had given him at that point, which was protect these sheep.
Yep.
And he did. He protected the bear. Protected against the lion.
That's right.
He did that. And
eventually it led to Goliath.
It led to bigger things. And that's, you know, kind of a life lesson. I've had it myself. It's like, oh, I wish I was doing bigger things. Maybe I should crush the thing I'm doing better. Maybe I should get better and, like, you know, more air in the basketball, a little float to the top. And somebody that just seems to always be at the top because they've prepared in private and crushed that opportunity and went to the next thing and crushed the opportunity. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, where is there a big problem in life? We need this person there. And she wrote a book called Stealing Your Vote, which is a foremost thought for people as we sit here, you know, 220 some days away from the 2024 election. And probably one of the people that we admire, respect most in the space of media, law, and politics, Christina Bob.
Thank you guys so much for having me. I always love coming on your show, and I'm always eager to share with you.
We are really honored for you to be on the show today. Thanks for joining us.
We have a lot of fun. We got to do you in person before at live events and our deal there. And the conversations before and after are unbelievable. I want to get to some of the legal things that are going on and what's up for you next in your future. But, you know, there's an undeniable spiritual component to the news cycles today. When you see the things that are happening, you're like, well, that's clearly dark. You don't need a Bible verse for that. That shouldn't be happening. And it was real encouraging for us. We knew you somewhat, but when we're with you privately, we're sitting there and all of a sudden the alarm goes off on your phone. And it's like, oh, why is that? You go, this is important. I'm a part of a prayer group every day with intercessors that are covering me in prayer as I continue in this fight.
Huge.
Like you have the military background, you got the legal mind. But you approach each day with a reverence for God's presence that is it's humbling to see.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I'm very well aware that the Lord has blessed me in my life, blessed me in my career, and I wouldn't be where I'm at without His hand guiding me. So I make no mistakes about where my success has come from. Try to hold tight to that.
Well, walk through that career arch real quick. And what was the conversation like when you were sitting down with your guidance counselor in high school and you're like, I would like to do some military, but some media, but then I'd like to be involved. Like walk through your positions. Cause you always seem to be in the middle of the eye of the hurricane. It's storming around you and you seem to always be right at the front of what's big.
Yeah. Well, honestly, I think it goes back to prayer. I always make myself willing, and much like you guys. I mean, look at what you've done with your podcast in a relatively short amount of time. And you're already interviewing the first family and going on some, you know, you've got some of the biggest names on your podcast. And there are podcasts that have been around for a decade that envy what you've put together. And I think it all goes back to making yourself willing to be used, right? Willing to be used by God and put yourself in that position. And so back to the question about the guidance counselor, it's funny you say that, you know, I get questions like how, you know, I love your career. How do I copy it? I'm like, I have no idea. I don't know. I didn't mean to do any of this. And, you know, I just find myself walking through the next open door. You know, I think I try to, you know, keep perspective on things and just say, okay, what's the next assignment that I should be tackling? And there's always another open door. And it's funny, you know, you use the David and Goliath analogy, which I think is true for you guys as well. But it's kind of funny because you tackle one thing and you're like, yes, I tackled it. And it's like, yes, your prize is you get a bigger giant.
Yes.
So
it's true. That's true.
You couldn't do what you're doing in each phase without the last one, like the military background and the JAG officer, that world, but then going into media, totally different world, but learning how news cycles and questions are spun, and that could be a gotcha, and like holding every word, you know, accountable, like that prepared you then, you know, to move into, you were at the front gate when they came to storm Mar-a-Lago, you know, and as a Trump attorney. So like every phase, it's like, you know, dealing with the media and every component of that seems to serve you well at the next station.
Yeah, I think that's true. And I just, you know, I don't typically talk about necessarily my faith or how frequently I'm praying. But it does come down to that, because how many times are we in situations where it's like, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing right now. You know, how do I navigate a certain situation, or what do I do? And, you know, it's funny, the more you pray, the more things become clear and open up, and just keep going forward.
Yeah.
Keep going forward.
And you can see tangible things in your life. When we started Flyover Conservatives, we were praying, but we didn't have intercessors that were covering us. And we were experiencing things as a family, as an organization. It was just very tough. You know, it was very hard to push through. And a lady told me, she goes, you all need intercessors. She goes, I'm not trying to scare you, but you need intercessors covering you. And we did that right away. Mm-hmm. We were obedient. We did it right away. And it was tangibly different. Our son Colton didn't even know at that point that we were being covered, but he came to us and he said, I this feels different. And I said, we have intercessors. He goes, I could tell, I could feel a difference. Yeah.
It is so true. I felt a difference after the first day. Like, you know, a team of people came behind me and said, you know, we want to support you. And I said, absolutely. You know, whether it's a couple minutes a day or whatever.
Yeah.
Yes, I'll make that time. And the very first day I was like, oh, I didn't even know I needed that, you know? It's very good.
It is. It's impossible to pray in for something not to happen.
Let's talk about your next position. You're not there yet, but they're aligning things, and obviously CNN, everybody else has already talked about it. So, you know, we might as well. There's a lot of shakeup at the RNC and moves. People seeing, you know, Laura Trump, and there's this, you know, everybody's watching's got their opinions and all this kind of stuff. And I think if nothing else, just from a shift in energy and branding and I guess people's willingness to give and knowing, like, hey, who's in charge of what and all this stuff. I think this move has been really good. It seems like it's being handled more like a business. I don't know all the details, but, you know, I read Breitbart articles, and it's like there's a lot of cleanup going on and you know, shifts being made and people maybe reapplying for positions and all that. And I think that's good. That's how most businesses are run. That's how most things are run. Mm-hmm. It's not, these aren't, you know, like changing family members or something. People have to, you know, perform and it needs to be done. And I think it's good for the people to see, like, okay, they're working, and everybody's got, it's a meritocracy there.
Yeah. So I'm thrilled to be joining the RNC. I am going through that transition right now. I have not fully onboarded, but I'm really excited to be doing it. And I have primarily worked, particularly as a reporter prior to joining the Trump team and Save America, primarily worked with grassroots organizations, and that did continue over into the legal work that I was doing. But I heard from a lot of people, you know, we're trying to get in touch with the RNC, we can't get in touch with them. And so I'm excited about this opportunity. You know, we'll see what it awaits. But I think there's a focus on the grassroots and making sure that the grassroots know that they're being heard and know that the RNC cares about what's going on at the local level and having an avenue for involvement. So I hope that, you know, prior concerns about involvement with the grassroots are alleviated. And I'm excited about it. I think it's going to be a good change. And of course, I love Chris LaCivita and the team that's coming in. Big fan of the Trump people, if that's what the media has been calling them. But I think it's going to be really good. And I think the American people will hopefully see a difference in that.
I think people trust Donald Trump more than they do the GOP, you know, at this point, without a doubt. And it's just whether it's friends, my neighbors, you know, and you know, these kind of a landscaping crew yesterday here. And there were five guys working. They watch our podcast and they're like, tell me about this. Tell me about that. But they're like, you wouldn't think, like, you know, five burly guys with beards in Missouri would be too concerned with the RNC, but in this time in history, they are, and they're encouraged. Yeah. And they made the comment, you know, I probably wouldn't have given to that, but now I would. Like, their mind shift is like, okay, there's a level of trust there because the Trump name's attached to it, and you know it's a performance-based organization that's focused on winning, not focused on, you know, cocktail parties or something. I'm not saying any of those things are true or weren't true or even going to be better, but that's the branding. You know, if you're a fan of an NFL team and you're frustrated with ownership and coaches or whatever, it's like, oh, I know this guy is going to shake things up and get things done and hold people to account.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And, you know, being an outsider, I never worked at the RNC before and never worked for a state GOP, although I've been in contact with them. You know, I have an outsider's perspective, and I think that is valuable to bring that in. So people hopefully, I hope that I'm bringing in a similar perspective to what the rest of America sees when they're looking at what's happening in politics. And I'm looking forward to that. I think it's a good thing. I hope it's a good thing, you know, but it remains to be seen. But I think it's going to work out really well.
I know two things. One, I wouldn't mess with you. I joke that I wouldn't want to take you on in hand-to-hand combat or game of chess. either one would be
maybe
a losing
like 20 years ago, but now.
but maybe give a couple of insights. You know, you got a book here, Stealing Your Vote.
And you were in the eye of the storm of Arizona. So we were watching you when all of
every
that was going
arena.
Down. You were in the eye of the storm. And so this is a big book coming out of this. And I think this is a major concern that people have right now is my vote going to count?
Yeah.
So talk about your book, Stealing
Again,
Stealing Your
ChristinaBob.com or anywhere you can buy your books. There's two B's in Bob if you're only listening.
Yeah, thanks. So I was an investigative reporter at the time, working very much in Arizona and Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin. I spent months and months on the ground in all of those states, interviewing elected officials, city clerks, county workers, volunteers, voters, anybody really that was willing to talk to me and tell me what they witnessed and what they saw. And I was doing it as a reporter, and I like to joke, I accidentally wrote a book. I just had so much information that I didn't have time to, you know, air it all, that I just started writing it down and accidentally wrote a book. So it's, I think, a pretty in-depth look at the on-the-ground operations and what was happening in, I think I cover, maybe 12 or 15 states in the book. And I mean, spoiler alert, the way it ends is that we need Americans involved. Yeah. The way we take back our elections is by American people getting involved. And it seems like a simple solution, but that really is the solution. If democracy, to be a democracy, we should be a self-governed nation, which means we have to govern ourselves, meaning the more people involved, the more people who are part of the process, the better representative our government will be of the people, because more people are involved. So, and it's not just voting, it's volunteering to work the elections. And particularly for 2024, it's working the elections, helping scrub voter rolls, canvassing. You know, there's a whole list of things that we as Americans need help getting involvement from the people. So that's the end game.
And it's true, it's important.
People are engaged and involved. Producer Colton's pulling up some clips from your Instagram here, but what kind of momentum is there in our country right now? The stats I've seen, President Trump is leading in every single swing state, and not by a slim margin. It's growing by the day.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think the game at this point, if we can call it that, is securing the election, making sure that it's only American citizens, people who lawfully have the right to vote, are casting ballots, and that we're not having some of the problems that we all saw and were concerned about from 2020. Don't repeat that. Don't repeat the COVID fiasco. Don't repeat the mail-in ballot fiasco. Let's make sure everything is secured and in accordance with both federal and state law. And I think Donald Trump wins in a landslide. That's the
Amen.
Game.
But then what do you say to the people that are here like, well, you know, he had 5 rallies a day with 20,000 people a time, you know, last time, you know, these kind of things. I know there's been wins along the way, but they're not sexy and they're not celebrated, you know, when they're competing with Taylor Swift and they're competing with the border crisis, they're competing with a news cycle that every 30 minutes there's something crazy. A lot of these little wins kind of get swept along the rug, but for sure, every precinct in America has a lot more eyes on it from both sides.
Yeah, that's so important. That's so, so important. And we saw, I think we saw from 2022 that eyes on is good, but it's not enough. We have to have people involved and part of the process. And I think Virginia's race in 2021 really highlighted that. The Republican, Governor Youngkin, won and became the governor in 2021. And I look at that as a really interesting election, because I think a big reason why he was successful and able to pull out that win was because it was the time of the election was very close to the Loudoun County School Board allowing transgenders in, you know, the transgender situation in high schools and high school bathrooms.
Huge.
And then the FBI issued that order saying that they were going to be targeting parents who are investigating parents who spoke out at school boards. Well, parents were livid with that. They were really, really upset. And it was shortly before the 2021 election. And you can go back and look at the reporting from left-leaning outlets like Washington Post and New York Times and, you know, some of the more the traditional outlets. And they all say there was an army of people who showed up, not just to vote, but to work the polls. Mm-hmm. And that made the difference.
That's encouraging for sure. Yep. So, okay. So, again, to get your book, people can go to ChristinaBobb.com, ChristinaBobb.com. And again, you know that our slogan here is wake up, speak up, and show up. So again, what is your recommendation as we are 220 some days from the election? What are things that people can do to speak up and show up to make a difference in the 2024 election?
Absolutely.
If you were the queen and everybody did what you said, what would you have them do?
Apply to work at your county. If you can actually be a worker, become an election worker at your county. Reach out to your state GOP, get involved there so that the GOP is going to have to certify anybody who wants to work the election. So you're going to have to go through them one way or another. Become an election worker, a volunteer, a poll watcher. If you don't want to work with, you know, any formalized group, you can go to several grassroots, find a grassroots organization in your area and just get plugged in some way. Find a cause that's important to you. Of course, elections is mine, but if you don't want to work elections, find a cause that matters to you and get involved.
I love it. Christina, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it. Hey, Flyover family, it is going to be a crazy year. Obviously, year of election 2024. Who knows what the future holds? But if we look back at the past, we look at what's happened, the year of elections, it's never good. So we're like, okay, what can we do as a family to prepare to take care of our family during this time?
And there's things that you can store up that are cheap and easy. You can get beans and rice and there's prep packs, but you need a protein in the mix to sustain yourself and sustain the people that depend on you to provide for them if the supply chain is broken for any length of time.
And we truly have searched everywhere to find the best source, and we have come across one, flyovermeat.com. Non-lab grown meat, non-mRNA jabs. It's all American beef. The shelf life is actually 10 plus years.
So high quality meat that you can take care of your family no matter what happens.
That is exactly right. So go to flyovermeat.com. Use promo code flyover. This is a crazy time to be alive.
Well, just in our lifetime, used to be where you'd hear your grandparents talk about how cheap gas was and stuff. And it was 75 years before, 50 years you know, before.
And so we've seen a lot of changes since Biden took office. $700 more a month
than what you needed in January of 21 when he took office.
You might hear these kind of things and think, oh, that's overwhelming. I can't control the government. I can't control what they're doing. I can't control the spending. But we can take care of ourselves.
You want to make sure that you're buying bullion from somebody that you can trust and someone that does not charge you a commission when you go to sell.
If there's going to be a commission, have it on the front end, not the back end when it skyrockets. And now you're like, oh my gosh, look at this big, huge commission I got to pay because it's on the back end before I sell it.
You can buy an ounce of silver for $23. So this is something everybody can get into. And if silver goes to $50, if it goes to $75, if it goes to $100, all of those profits are yours. And that's happening while the dollar is buying less and less at the actual grocery store.
So you can go to flyovergold.com, fill out your information. When you do that, someone from Dr. Kirk's team will get a hold of you to set up a free consultation. It doesn't cost you any money whatsoever. Or to do the same thing, you can just call 720-605-3900.
All right, Flyover family, I know it's one of your favorite segments, one of ours.
Oh, we love it.
For sure. We're going to break down the news through the lens of a professional producer. She's a producer with Fox News, Newsmax, Major League Baseball. And I tell you what, she has the best guess, the hardest hitting, punching, what's happening 2 weeks before everybody else is talking about it. And on her own show, the host of the Brown and Marillo Show, Ms. Brown and Marillo.
Yay!
Great introduction. Hello, David and Stacey. What a pleasure to be with you guys.
We're so honored to have you on the show.
I'm shocked.
Killing it.
I'm shocked she's still talking to us.
I know.
Little people. The little people. I want to jump in right out of the gate with your very first tweet. You had the one, the only, like, I don't know, a dozen Emmy Award winning from 60 Minutes, yeah. Brianna Morello.
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, not Brianna Morello, Laura Logan. I got thrown off with your...
with Miss Lara Logan. Yeah, yes. She came on to talk about something that's really, really important. And which is the genocide that's happening right now in Nigeria amongst Christians. Christians are being slaughtered by Muslim terrorist organizations, and nobody wants to talk about it. And Lara Logan's been one of the very few people who's been doing a lot of honest and great reporting on the subject. And so it was amazing having her on. So many people were so happy to hear her talking about it too, because a lot of people don't even realize that this is going on. And, you know, just mm-hmm. recently this week, we saw another 700 children and women get abducted by another Muslim terrorist gang. And the corporate media, they're reporting that the kids and the women are missing, but they're not telling you who took them. And that's the big part of the mm-hmm. story. And of course, it's because the corporate media doesn't want you to know that these are Muslims who are kidnapping Christians and killing them, sadly.
That is very, very sad. You know, to have also, obviously she came on your show, but then she retweeted out, you know, about it. You know, we've had a conversation with Laura, and she really respects you a yes. lot. She follows yeah. what you do, and she really respects you. So I was really excited to see on your show. I mean, obviously, it's a really sad subject that we have to get this information out there so more people are aware.
Yeah. Yeah. And she's the person who opened my eyes to it. She did a great report years ago for Fox on all of this. It was a great series where she kind of walked the audience through all of this. And so it's such an honor to have her on the show because she knows so much. You know, I joke with her and say, like, I'll never be a great journalist like you, because I think that she is like the top tier when it comes yeah. to journalism mm-hmm. because she knows everything. She knows every piece of detail, and she's willing to go to the places that like I really wouldn't go to. Right. Like, cause I just like, it's not my thing. It's I'm a little on edge and a little paranoid. But she's fearless, and she will go really to all these places. And that's what's been so impressive.
You're exactly right.
So people can find that. Go to BriannaMorello.com. And it's on Rumble. It's on lots of platforms. But that is a great place to be able to check it out. Give her a follow. I mean, when it comes to like the thing, flying at 1,000 feet, exactly what's happening in the news cycle, Brianna's got it.
For sure. Yeah. I want to talk about, this is really disturbing. But four suspects were released after they allegedly dismembered human bodies and scattered their parts around Long Island. So why were they released after being charged? Well, New York Democrats ushered in criminal justice reform back in 2019. That's why. Okay, what is going on? And this is very disturbing.
Yeah, so it's finally starting to catch wind, this story. Four of these suspects were released after they literally, I mean, the images are just brutal. They just left, and sadly, children found these things. They were left in parks, but they left pieces of two adult bodies throughout Long Island parks. And the DA can't charge them with murder yet because he doesn't have enough evidence to prove that they actually killed these people. He could only prove the dismemberment part, which is fine. Like, I understand these things take time, and I'm okay with that. I know everyone's like, oh, just charge the governor of New York is like, you should charge with murder, or you should charge with something else. But the reality is, we don't want district attorneys charging suspects with crimes that they cannot prove. And I think that's a big, big issue. And so this DA was responsible and only charged him for these people what he could prove. And that is that they dismembered these parts and then spread them throughout the islands. And so what's going on here specifically, though, is criminal justice reform, which I refer to as a criminal bill of rights. It was passed into the state's budget back in 2019. And what happened there was just disgusting. New York Democrats pushed this through without actually looking at it. And they had a list of what they considered to be nonviolent crimes. And that crime is still to this day listed as nonviolence. Now, there's also a couple of other crimes which were egregious and were looked over after there was public outrage. But they considered possession of child pornography and manslaughter to be nonviolent crimes as well. This is New York Democrats, right? So it was egregious. It was disgusting. They passed it. And the governor doesn't want to admit that criminal justice reform didn't work. In fact, it's actually worse than what most Americans think, because it also – it kind of bullies people from coming forward and reporting crimes, because now criminal justice reform – so now if you're the victim of a crime, let's say you're a woman who's sitting on the subway and a man gropes you and you want to file charges against him for that, that suspect now gets your phone number and your address. And that's because of criminal justice reform. Now, if you're wondering why this is possible, who would vote for this? It's because, well, they don't want you to file criminal charges against people, because they don't want to boost the statistics. They wanted criminal justice reform to look like it was actually working and reducing crime. And so they intimidated victims from coming forward to report crime. So when you talk about New York City and New York, their violence going up, their violent crimes, robbery, murder, sexual assaults, keep in mind it's significantly higher than what they're saying, because so many people do not want to come forward.
Okay, well, yeah, they don't want them to know where they live.
Here's how I can get Stacey to stop complaining I'm late all the time. I take all of her watches and break the clocks.
Right, exactly. Like, okay.
See? Yeah. I've not been late this week. You know, it makes that much sense, you know?
Aren't you glad you get out of New York?
Oh, so glad. That was actually the reason why I left New York. Once I read the legislation in 2018, I actually packed up, and this is the first time I quit Fox. I packed up, had a meeting with a couple executives who agreed that it was outrageous, the bill, but I left, and they stuck it out, so I moved to Florida immediately.
Wow, I don't blame you.
It's tough. Well, here's another side of justice. You know, we look at the DOJ and the FBI. Break down for us. I'm not going to read this whole tweet put on the screen. Who's Isabel Brown?
No, Isabel
Isabel DeLuca. Who's Isabel DeLuca?
She's a social media influencer. She's a conservative social media influencer. She was there at the Capitol that day. But again, guys, it was a legal protest, so people were allowed to be there. Now, there's images where the DOJ says that she went into the building. She crawled through a window. But from the images that they share, she popped her head in, popped her head out, and then left. But they ended up charging her with 4 misdemeanors just this week. Again, guys, if she was a threat to society, you wouldn't have to charge her. You wouldn't have waited this long. You would have gotten her quickly. But this is the DOJ. They're going after everyone to boost their stats on this whole situation, the domestic terrorist numbers. So I read through the statement of facts, as the DOJ calls it. The FBI agent who was assigned to Isabella wrote these facts. And in it, there was a couple of things that stood out to me. Number one, they're using speech against her. They're saying that based on her social media posts, that's the reason why they're saying that she committed these crimes, the crimes that they're accusing her of. They're using it against her. They also got subpoenas for her bank records and access from a warrant for her Twitter account, so they could obtain information for her Twitter. So those are things that normally wouldn't take place for minor offenses, but it just goes to show that the DOJ is hellbent on going after these people and making sure that they put them in prison. She was actually put, again, like Steve Baker, like I reported previously, in leg irons and handcuffs, and was dragged off when she was arrested in California. So it's one of the many, many situations that are going on right now where J6ers, for no reason, for minor offenses, are being prosecuted.
Yep.
I mean, just alone for, if you look at the statement of facts, it literally alleges that she went in for a second and left. And then they also cite her social media post where she said that it was like crazy inside the Capitol. So I don't think Isabella did anything wrong. I think she was there for a rally, and you know, it got crazy. I mean, it got crazy. And I don't think people realize what they were doing that day. I don't think that they realized, based on the Summer of Love, the BLM riots, the Brett Kavanaugh riots, I don't think that they thought that this was anything different. And I think that's why so many Americans found themselves, you know, in areas that may or may have not been restricted. And so they also weren't clearly marked. So a lot of these people had no idea what they were doing.
Yep.
The question I would have, too, is it sounds like they went to see her a week after that the FBI came to see her. But now, you know, we're this far from that. What's changed since then?
Yeah, I don't know. So the FBI has been doing this to a lot of people where I think on the 9th, they got a tip, January 9th, they got a tip from somebody that she was in the building. And so it took them a while to get through it. Now, they apparently did do a phone interview with her, which, oh gosh, if I knew back then, I would tell everyone, if the FBI calls you or comes to your door and asks for an interview, you shut that door as quick as possible. You do not speak to them. You're not setting the record straight. You're giving them ammunition to go after you later on. And so they included the notes from that discussion in there. And it just didn't have to happen. I mean, there's no reason for this. This is the FBI is literally getting pulled off of, like, Steve Friend tells you, sex crimes against children to go do this. And it's disgusting.
Access to her bank, subpoena, get her social media accounts. I don't know how many man hours, with the ultimate goal, if it's a big win for them, it helps their numbers, and it's just a misdemeanor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I just submitted a FOIA request too. So we're going to get to the bottom of this as to why the FBI is being more aggressive with these J6ers, what the protocol is for misdemeanor offenses, because they don't want to tell you straight up. But like I mentioned before with Steve Baker, when the U.S. Marshals were processing him, they called it bullshit. And that's exactly what they said. They said this does not happen under any of the circumstances. Yeah. And they thought it was a joke. But they still comply, which I think is disgusting. But they know what's happening, too. They're just all silent.
Flyover family, this doesn't happen by accident. The reason Brianna has the kind of freedom to do this is because she's 100% independent. And I mean independent. She's independent of producers at a place like Fox or CNN or any of those places. She's also independent of a payroll, mm-hmm. you know, and, yeah. and the, cause you know, with money comes a leash, mm-hmm. you know, in these environments, she has no leash, but you know, we can help fund her and support there. Go to BriannaMarillo.com or, I think there's a direct link.
Support Bree.
Support mm-hmm, yeah. Bree. If like if she says, I submitted a FOIA request. That's not like an online form. It costs money to do that. I mean, there's attorneys and things involved in this process. She's doing this out of her own pocket. So go to supportbree.com mm-hmm. and any little bit helps because she is out there doing this literally on a shoestring and getting more done than mainstream media on her own, working with her own stuff. So speaking of shackles and leg irons.
Yeah, Peter Navarro.
You put out the direct address. Mm-hmm. If people want to write a letter of encouragement or support or a prayer mm-hmm. or anything, here's where they can send it. Is there any other instructions of how they would get that to him besides that? Any other tips?
Yeah. So a lot of the times, I mean, I did it as an experiment when Owen Schroer was in prison. I sent 4 letters and he only got 2 of them. So a lot of the times they don't get the letters. It's just because they just don't want to give them to them. So I would recommend everyone maybe sending multiple letters, dropping them in the mail, and just making sure that you include that information that's on your screen. So you want his first name, last name, his inmate number, which is the registration number, and then the address so that it is processed. I tried reaching out to the prison too. A lot of the times, when it's high profile Republicans who are processed in federal prison, they have a habit of putting them in solitary confinement. So I reach out to the jail, to the prison to figure out what's going on, the Bureau of Prisons, and they have not responded. But I'm trying to figure out the status update of Peter Navarro to make sure that he's not being placed in solitary, because it's likely that they will put him in there.
Man. Wow. Birthdays are a big day. Everybody likes them. Some people mm-hmm. regret them or they fudge on the numbers and things like this, but it's usually a day of celebration. It's like, oh, I had a birthday. Somebody turned 18 yesterday. And the left now thinks that's like free game.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
It's like, hey, this person's 18. We can now try to make their life miserable. This is interesting.
Now, this is interesting because the post is now no longer available. So tell about that. What happened here?
So this guy, he used to be a corporate media executive producer, I believe, Mike Singston. He is just notorious for going after Republicans and people on the right. And literally at 4:44 a.m. Pacific time, because he's in California, that's where his tweet location was when he posted this tweet, he tweeted out that Barron Trump is now 18 years old as of today, and now he's fair game, was the exact quote that he said there. That's disgusting, first off. Like, what are you, like, is that, like, meant to be sexual, or is that meant to be that you're going to go after him because now he's an adult? And Barron literally stays out of the limelight, like, literally all the time. Yeah. I don't think I've ever heard him speak. So no. It just shows how sick they are. And a lot of people gained up on him for being just such a, it came off as very pervy and creepy. So I think that's why he deleted it.
That's good.
Probably
that's
deleted good. It because it's wrong.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. People standing up. I like that.
But it was still out there. So his intent was heard.
All right, let's go to My Vote Counts. So you have move to a blue state, pray for low voter turnout, and crush the souls of liberals. That's the plan. Update, folks. My master plan worked. We just elected a Republican mayor in my city. This is great. Okay, so tell about this. Yeah.
See, this is the amazing part. So obviously Democrats have fixed their primary so that Joe Biden will be the nominee. Remember when they tell you that they're here to defend democracy? Well, they're not. They don't like democracy. Joe Biden, again, is their nominee and they're pushing him forward and you can't speak up against it. So what happened yesterday, what happened specifically was back in November, Florida Democrats just gave him the delegates without even having the primary. And so on election day this last Tuesday, we sat there and only Republicans really showed up because, well, we had something to be out in the polls for. You know, DeSantis was still on the ballot. Nikki Haley was still on the ballot for primaries. So everyone showed up. And so in cities like mine, which normally are very left-leaning, they made a very big mistake. And it happened all across Florida. People didn't show up because there wasn't a reason to show up because there was no primary. And, well, as a result of all of that, their state and local officials lost out big time because they didn't have voter turnout. And, you know, I was hoping for it. I was like, I know this is going to happen. Let me just bite my tongue and not say anything till election day so that they can't try to do anything to kind of, you know, make this. So now we are super, super red here in the state of Florida. And it's all because Democrats don't like democracy.
Man, that is so good. What a great plan.
Backfired on them big time. We're going to get to another Democrat backfire plan here in a minute ago. But you had a guest on this week. Laura Logan is on and on. You got just incredible minds. But Tracy Beans.
David is like, she got Tracy Beans.
I'll just be honest. Yeah. I'm a little hurt. Because we've been trying to get her for like a year and a half and it's not panned out.
I can hook it up.
Oh, well, okay. Thank you for your patronizing, condescending.
I can help you, David.
But I get Brianna's crumbs. Thank you. No, and no offense to Tracy, but she is a researcher. She's a deep diver on things. And what I like is she just comes out swinging. Whenever I don't catch her podcast every day, but pretty regularly I'll catch it and she goes live. It'll pop up and I'll just put it on in the background. And like she does kicks over the rocks, mm-hmm. looks at the bug, takes the bug, microscopes him, dissects him, pins him to some styrofoam. Like she digs deep. And
she was talking about our own home state.
Yeah, she's digging into a little show me state here. So tell me what you learned.
So she's actually from my old area. We both left, obviously, but Long Island. And she is one of the best, like you mentioned, because she knows so much about this free speech lawsuit that's going on right now. It's Missouri versus Biden. Now, a lot of people in the media just didn't understand what this was about. And so that's why you go to people like Tracy Beans, because the corporate media was making it seem like the actual lawsuit itself was being played out in front of the Supreme Court. But it was actually a temporary injunction that was being played out. So it wasn't the full lawsuit. The full lawsuit is still pending. But ultimately, you know, you had Ketanji Jackson, the justice on the DEI hire for the Supreme Court, mm-hmm. who was really just saying that she's not a fan of free speech and that she thinks the government should be able to step in when there's something like a pandemic, of course, because the government knows better than the American people. And so she pretty much said, and it was just so jarring for so many people, that like you put the government in a bind when they can't step in and step on the free speech rights of Americans. And so we had her on to discuss it. She also interviewed another one of the states that's in on that lawsuit, which is Louisiana, their attorney general as well. Uh-huh. So we played a clip from that, but it's very insightful because no one else really understood what was playing out in front of the Supreme Court like Tracy. And so that's why it's important. Her website's Uncover DC. She actually mapped it out on her website specifically what was going on. And it was the only website, honestly, that was informed and really just kind of taught me a bunch. And so it's really important to head over there.
And to watch that interview, you can go to the Brianna Murillo show on Rumble. So go to Rumble, go to the Brianna Murillo show, or you can find it by going to BriannaMurillo.com, and it'll take you to her Rumble.
And below this episode, we can put a link directly mm-hmm. to that episode and the Laura Logan one as well, because those are ones you're going to want to catch and see.
All right, let's talk about the word bloodbath.
Bloodbath.
Media loved that.
Yeah, isn't it crazy? So there was this great reel too of them, all of them just going after and saying the word bloodbath. And so I joked and said, you know, the corporate media talking points are, just went out and it all is about bloodbath. Say that there's a bloodbath. Mm-hmm. Democrats have been using the word bloodbath forever. And it's like people who are getting upset and frustrated with it on air. It's just an act because honestly, if you go back to their clips, they've been using those terms forever.
Everybody obviously has. Especially when it applies to economic situations. Yes. Now, I don't think this is a flyover listener, but somebody out there did an interpretive dance, kind of a demonstration of exactly how this worked out for the Democrats on the term bloodbath. We got just a little image to play here.
It's pretty accurate.
What happened.
Well, and here's how it worked out, because there are Democrat leaders now that are saying once everybody looked at this, and Trump's been good at this, he'll draw attention to something and there's a crazy news cycle. And then the dust settles and it's like, well, why are we in the NAFTA? And then the Democrat leaders, especially in manufacturing states like Michigan, which is a swing state, are saying, actually, this is huge, and it will be a bloodbath if we lose all of these jobs and this manufacturing. So they're for the 100% tariff. And that was the context of what this was about, is he says, we need to put a 100% tariff on every car manufactured through a Chinese built plant in Mexico before it comes into America. And there are not one or two, there's a wave of Democrats that are like, we do need to put a 100% tariff on
especially in states like Michigan,
because they're answering to their base, and their base is like, yeah, hello, how about think about us for like 5 seconds, because our jobs are important too. So it not only did the bloodbath thing make them look bad, because they're like, you're just making something out of nothing, that was not the context, it's coming back to bite them a little bit economically as far as their own base.
Yeah, it is. And you know, it was so funny today. N Wokeness on Twitter actually posted something, and he actually must have screenshot the definition, the Google definition of bloodbath before, I believe it was on Sunday. And then today he went back to Google and screenshotted it again. And they actually changed the definition so that it could be applied to the out of text content that the mainstream media wants to use. And it just goes to show that literally Google is being manipulated. Yeah, Google is being manipulated by Democrats. There's also another another report that came out, I believe it was MRC Newsbusters, who detailed specifically 41 instances when Google manipulated things and interfered in our elections for Democrats. They were always the beneficiary in all of it. It was always Democrats. So there's a common theme here. And like we mentioned last week, I'm really scared for that TikTok ban, because ultimately it's not that they care about the CCP surveilling Americans. They want to surveil Americans. They want to manipulate the content you see. And they don't like the fact that the CCP has that power and not them. And so they're trying to take that back. But this all brings it together. Again, bloodbaths. Exactly. There you go. Bloodbath. The definition has now changed on Google so that they could pretend like there's some legitimacy behind the corporate media's spin on all of this, which is, again, beneficial to Democrats. And again, it's interfering in our elections.
That's exactly right.
Well, something about interference. I wish you would interfere in our dinners.
Yes. Can we just have you come here with us all the time? Because absolutely. This next tweet, this picture, like I'm just looking at it right now and my mouth is watering. This is amazing. And now we have the truffle, the oil that we can put on this.
Just finished making stuffed rib roast with truffled mashed potatoes.
Oh my
gosh. Sounds like something you'd hear like Louis the 14th saying, I just finished a stuffed rib roast baked beast with truffled mashed potatoes. I don't know how he sounded. But it sounds very Thurston Howell the III, kind of pretentious. And you know, I'm quite envious.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, it's easy to make. It's really not difficult. I actually got a couple of people asking me if I could just start a political cooking show and talk politics while I'm making food. And specifically someone today, it would be right. And someone specifically today was like, I want to see you chopping things while you're talking about politicians.
Yeah. you're such a conservative, even in your meat's red. Sorry.
That's true.
The only thing would be different if we made it wouldn't have the green stuff there. It would just be the meat.
Yeah, no vegetables.
Yeah. And maybe paydays if it's a holiday.
I love it. I know. I next time won't be I usually don't have vegetables actually, because there's so many studies that show that they cause inflammation. But I didn't want my guests to think I was a weirdo by not having vegetables, so I put it on the plate for decor.
A little
virtue signaling with your broccoli. That's good. Brianna, thanks for all that you do. Again, Flyover family, go to BriannaMorello.com. Go to Brianna Morello on Rumble and give her a follow, because I guarantee there literally is no one doing exactly what she's doing in all of media. She is one of one in this space. We need to get behind her. We need to hit follow. We need to support, because we're 220 some days away from 2024 election, and she speaks more clearly than anybody in the space.
All right, Flyover family. My name is Avery Whited. I'm the daughter of David and Stacy. I'm just moving in, so I had to get an order from MyPillow and get the things that I needed. So let's look inside. I got some MyPillow towels, kitchen towels. I got some of their Giza sheets. Now, I've never actually been able to use them, but I've heard amazing things from my parents about them. And last but not least, something for Charlie. Hey, Dolphin. All right, Charlie, let's go put this in the dryer and fluff it up for you. Come on, buddy. Nice and warm and fluffy. Perfect for my little guy. Come here, Charlie. All right, if you want to get your own products, go to mypillow.com and use promo code FLYOVER to save up to 66% off.
Do your feet ache and throb in pain with every step you take every day of your life? Well, kiss those days goodbye with slippers from MyPillow.com. How about that flimsy, flat little excuse for a pillow that's nothing but 8 hours of disappointment, causing you pain in your neck every single night? You can wake up with nothing but butterflies and rainbows around your head with a MyPillow pillow. Those hard wood floors hurting your old bones? No more with a MyPillow dog bed. Are your towels worn thin, flimsy, more patchy than Joe Biden's memory? There's nothing better than absorbent towels from MyPillow.com. For all of these products and more, go to MyPillow.com. Use promo code FLYOVER for up to 66% off.
You You know what time it is. It's time for an economic update with Dr. Kirk Elliott. Welcome.
Well, it's so great to be with you. Take two. So I'm so glad we live in a country where our tax dollars are used to get high-speed internet everywhere for everyone. The hotel I'm at has zero connections, so I'm in the car.
Crazy. Well, we are so glad you joined us.
Super pumped. We started in your hotel room, moved back out to the car. You're on the road. But, you know, luckily this – we have guests on for different reasons. I've been friends with you for 25 years. We'll just say this. We're more interested in what's inside your head than what's wrapping your head. And so as long as we can hear you good, we're getting the information, it'll work out good. People log on to this. You know, we have eye candy guests and your brain candy. Let's just say it.
Yep.
Brain candy.
You know, you just said I'm not eye candy. That's all I heard.
I'd say you're both.
You can't have everything, all right? You know, know your role.
Hey, I
will say this, though. We were out Friday night, went to dinner as a family. Somebody came up, hey, David Stacey, I watched your guys' show. Wanted to know about economic update. And you were talking about different guests, the prophetic, and want to know about what you're doing. We were at a shooting range last night. Guests came up. Man, love this. He'd been a couple live events. People are interested in the economy like never before. And it's like mainstream media is kind of catching up with the, they're starting to dance to a drum beat that you've been drumming, you know, for a couple of years saying, you know, mathematically, this is what's happening. And the policies are beginning to impact their everyday lives.
It is. I mean, that's really a great segue to what I wanted to talk about today. You know, I remember a show that we did in January of 23.
Wow. January of
23. And people could go back to the archives probably and watch it, but we were talking about the FDIC having only 1.7% of all deposits insured. And it's like, well, this, remember, okay, January of 23, before the banking crisis has all happened with Silicon Valley Bank, Signature Bank, Credit Suisse, First Republic, all going into FDIC receivership and going belly up, right? So we were sounding the warning bell then. And so how do you figure that? So all of the deposits in America at every bank, at every credit union, right? So 1.7% means the assets of FDIC only cover 1.7% of deposits. Mm. Okay. So
that's scary.
It is scary because forget about the $250,000 FDIC insurance, right? It's like 1.7%. So then what happened? So, and then in March and April, you had all these banks that started failing, big banks, or, you know, these big regional banks. So what happened to FDIC since then? Well, there was more banks than the big five that we saw that went under. There was a bunch of small ones that didn't really make the news because they were kind of small. But since then and today, a year later-ish, FDIC now has 0.74% of all assets covered.
Whoa.
So they've lost more than half of their asset base bailing out these banks. Okay. So
that sounds like a major problem.
That's a big deal. If you have $1,000 in the bank or you have $100,000 in the bank, nobody wants to lose what they have. It applies to everybody. No.
It applies to absolutely everybody. And one of the things that we've talked about over the year is, okay, get out of debt, number one. Number two, how do you invest in a time like this when the markets are overvalued, when wages are coming down, when inflation is persisting, interest rates are going up, banks are undercapitalized? It's like, well, okay, get out of debt and don't have too much money in the banks. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've been shouting this from the rooftops for a long time. Now, with only 0.74 and the news that's coming out is actually significantly worse than it was in March and April when Silicon Valley Bank went under and all those other five. So recently, over the last 2 weeks, there was a big CEO on Yahoo Finance, CEO of a massive real estate, national real estate, you know, like a developer kind of a person who's always getting loans from banks to build commercial real estate, to build, you know, housing developments, whatever. His prediction is that over 500 more banks are going to fail or be consolidated over the next 2 years. Okay.
500.
Look what happened when five banks failed. FDIC lost more than half of its asset base, bailing these banks out. Now, this is just one guy, right? But he's very prominent guy who understands banking finance because that's the world that he lives in. Well, let's look at another more prominent person. How about Jerome Powell, chairman of the Federal Reserve? So he said there's going to be bank failures this year caused by commercial real estate losses. So he's sounding the warning signs. We're going to have more bank failures. So here's my point. When you've got five banks that failed, FDIC lost more than half of its asset base. What if that real estate guy is wrong? And there's only 10 banks that fail instead of 500. That's still twice as many that failed during Silicon Valley Bank, and they already took up half of the FDIC amount. It's like, oh my word, FDIC is going to go insolvent. And remember, like, it was either 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago, David and Stacy, I said that the banking crisis is going to be the biggest financial news story of the year.
Yep.
I think it's going to happen. And I hate to be right about that kind of stuff, but when banks are undercapitalized, when you've got FDIC insurance that's so underinsured, and now you've got all these other things that we've talked about on previous shows, and I hope that people are listening. I hope that they're listening, because with Basel III and the reserve requirement going from 0 to 20% means banks have to somehow come up with 20% of all of their deposits to stay in compliance, or they're going to either go out of business, be shut down, or be consolidated by a larger bank. And then in addition to that, a week ago, March 11th, the emergency funding for stressed banks ended from the Fed. The bank temp funding program that we've talked about expired. There's no more emergency funding for failing banks. So that's the one thing that caused not more banks to fail, right? Because everyone was cheering and applauding the Fed and saying, oh, look at how amazing you are. We had these five bank failures, and then somehow it just stopped. They stopped the contagion, right? Well, they didn't really stop anything. They put a Band-Aid on it by providing this emergency funding to undercapitalized banks so they wouldn't go into FDIC receivership. Okay, this is very important, because now that that funding is gone, the next bank that fails, it's on the verge of failure, they're not getting emergency funding. That program is done. That stimulus is gone. So now it will go into FDIC receivership. And sadly, FDIC is running out of money. I mean, every person in America, like you said, David, whether you have $100 in your bank account or $100 million, it doesn't matter. FDIC is underinsured. And I would, from all of my heart, not just the bottom of my heart, from all of my heart, I would say, get money out of the banks. Now, not all of it. You still need funds to operate on. You still need an emergency fund. You still have monthly expenses, right? But if you have excess in there that you're concerned about, I would not have a lot in the banking system right now, because I think this is the system that's about to fail. So I start asking myself these weird questions in my head. And maybe it's because I live in this world way too closely when the financial world, but it's like, what is the safest thing in people's minds? Financially, their bank accounts. You're out of the market. You're not tied to the stock market or the bond market.
And that's the image.
Yeah. You just have money in the bank, but that's a false image, right? Because what do banks invest in? The same thing you and I would. Banks invest in stocks, in bonds, in mutual funds, in companies, in real estate. Same exact things you and I would invest in, except on a larger scale, because they're a bank, right? So here's where we start connecting some serious dots. And why would the government, knowing this, they know that banks are supposedly the safe haven thing in people's hearts and minds. Well, why would they stop emergency funding during an election year? Because if we can run on the banks, people lose confidence in everything. I mean, last quarter, 44% profit drop from banks across the board. They are running out of money, right? So why wouldn't they keep that emergency funding going? So number one is truly the government. No, they can't keep printing money because they're going to have to keep raising interest rates. The economy is so fragile. And they're realizing with the BRICS nations rising up, taking away petrodollar status, they don't have a lot of money other than printing, and they can't afford to do that. So why would they stop this one thing? Are they stupid?
Well, why would they be so transparent? Is Jerome Powell, like, his job is like, if you're on a flight and the engine goes out on a plane, the pilot's going to come on and be like, everything is fine, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to be
keep you calm.
Like their job is to say things are fine no matter what. So when Jerome Powell, his role is to keep people's pulse calm because he's an extension of the administration. And so, you know, it shouldn't be, but he is. And so when he is saying these kind of dire warnings, and his job is to, you don't want, if the pilot comes on, I'm like, okay, ladies and gentlemen, I would say some prayers, get your, you know, trouble. Like, get yourself right with God at this moment. Like that is a big warning.
Yeah.
It is. So that's kind of a funny story because not this flight, but the last one I was on, we're getting ready to land. And all of a sudden the plane, they put on the afterburners and the plane goes like almost straight up in the air. Stuff is flying around. People are screaming.
Oh my gosh.
Screaming. And we were, the landing gear was down. We were getting ready to land. And the pilot comes on and says, sorry. Obviously an old military pilot would be my guess. Had to take quick evasive maneuvers because a plane was coming right at us and we had to get out of the way. So sorry, everybody. It's like, what?
Oh, it's like, no.
Last second warning, right? But by that point, everybody knew that there was a problem because the plane was going like straight up in the air. This is a commercial airliner. So this is the same as this, what's happening now. We are not going to know until it's almost too late. Mm-hmm. Right. Because once people get this warning sign of, oh, banks are failing and there's a run on the banks, not enough people are going to be able to get to the banks in time before there's a run and capital runs out. Right. So I have to think these people aren't stupid. I think that they're evil. There's a difference between being evil and being stupid because we know that what their plan is, what their agenda is, and that's to usher in central bank digital currency like we've talked about for a year. If you have a crisis that's big enough, even a reasonable person would say, if I'm going to be divorced from my money, I'll give the government anything. Just fix it. Just fix it. I don't care what freedoms I have to give up. I don't care if it means the ability to or non-ability to buy or sell, because they can flip you off if your ideology doesn't match up, right? They can flip off that switch and saying, you can't spend money here. You can't spend money there. You can't do it on this and that. So no reasonable person would ever say that that's a good idea.
Right.
Right. To have spyware on your bank account by the government. But yet, crisis bad enough, they will give that up. So the second half of my brain says, okay, this is all intended. They want this to happen so they can actually get their way, be the saviors of the world with banking, and usher in something new that is all about people control. But no matter how you look at it, whether that's the agenda or whether they're just truly run out of money, the end result is the same. And that is anybody who has any money in their bank account too much, you should get it out. Now, what else is this banking crisis going to affect? Your retirement accounts, right? Because let's say you've got an account at Schwab or Fidelity and it's an IRA, or your 401k or whatever, and you've got cash in there in a money market, where are money market accounts held? In banks somewhere. It's a banking asset. Cash is always a banking asset. So this is going to affect retirement accounts, even if it's not at a bank. And when that's people scary. Start to pull money out, the end result in your mind is, I'm pulling back. I'm going to save for a rainy day. You're going to stop investing. You're going to stop spending. You're going to stop doing everything. Markets come crashing down. I mean, I know I'm painting a dismal picture, but the banking industry is the core of the financial world, right? It's where everybody holds their assets. And I think this is a big deal. Really big
deal. It is. Well,
Ronald Reagan famously said, it goes, the scariest sentence in the English language is, I'm from the government. I'm here to help you. Mm-hmm. You know, and so if they're creating a crisis that only they can solve, you know, it's a scary time.
But Americans are feeling it. They're very aware. It's part of a lot of people's conversations. Like David said, just even over the last few days, as we've been out and about and just seeing, you know, flyover family members or just talking to people, that is part of the conversation of, well, okay, what's going on in the economy? I have to do something. I mean, we're receiving calls now. What do I do? Okay, how do I get a hold of Dr. Kirk? You know, because now people are like, I need to do something. They've been maybe listening for a couple of years. Now they're like, I need to make a move.
I'm like, you get a hold the same way you did 2 years ago or 6 months ago. It's like just, but move, because you need the thing with silver that makes it so appealing is it has a high floor, and it's actually a floor. It's not built on paper mache. It's a thing.
Right. It actually is a thing. Things never go to zero. And I was thinking while you were talking, it's like, I can think of a scarier sentence other than we're here from the government and we're here to
what?
Help. Is, hey, I'm Joe Biden and this is my counterpart Kamala and we're here to run the country.
Oh, no kidding. That in November of 2020, everybody's like, what?
Yeah. I guess it's still Ronald Reagan's sentence, but it carries different weight based on who's saying it. Ronald Reagan's saying it's a little different than Kamala Harris.
That is exactly right.
This banking crisis that we have is because, large in part, Bidenomics, lowering wages, increasing unemployment, inflationary pressures because they're printing money like there's no tomorrow, bad foreign policy, putting export controls on Russia, which actually then caused Russia to go to China and say, hey, we need help. We just got booted out of the SWIFT system and we can't take international bank wires. This is what caused this new Axis and Allies power shift is bad foreign policy, inflationary pressures causing a run on the banks. I mean, their economy is really bad, and it's because of their doing, right? So the solution, right? I don't want to leave people with this, oh my word, now what? My banks are going to fail. This is where you said it, Stacey. Silver is so good because it's a tangible asset. It's real, and it is going through the roof. We'll have to do another show where silver action is right now, because that is the answer to get out of a system that's broken, out of the inflationary world where they can cut you off from buying or selling, away from a system where your money might be divorced. Oh, by the way, it's no longer your money, right? After 2009, when you had Bear Stearns and Lehman Brothers that went under, they changed ownership at the banks. Your deposits, your savings accounts, your money markets, your CDs, your accounts at brokerage institutions are now theirs. We gave up ownership. You can look at the documents and verify that I'm right, because I am. We gave up ownership to the financial institution because they had so much debt. They had so much derivatives debt that they needed to use your assets as collateral to be able to pay off their loans. You can't pledge collateral unless you own it. So they took ownership. We are now beneficial owners of all of our bank accounts, which means they can take it, code in today's language that we've heard Janet Yellen, Jerome Powell, that is a bail-in. That's what a bail-in is, when your assets are used to bail out your own financial institution. I think the government is out of bailing out banks, which is why they stopped that emergency funding. And it's now up to us to bail out our own financial institutions. So we better be very careful what bank we go to, know the financial stability of it. And if you don't have too much money in there. I mean, I'm in the same boat as you are. I'm in the same boat as everybody else. We have a company that has millions of dollars of bank wires coming in because people are buying precious metals. I don't want to keep all that money in the same bank.
Sure.
So what is our CEO, Ashley, and I doing? We're opening up bank account after bank account after bank account to spread it out, because it's the safe and wise thing to do in a world that's upside down right now.
And here's the deal, too. As I'm listening to you, I just, you know, we grew up in Kansas, lots of tornadoes when we were growing up. And what would happen would a siren would go off, an alarm would go off that would warn you so that you would have time to get to your basement or to get to a safe place. I feel like that's what's happening right now. It's like there's an alarm going off because this tsunami, this issue is coming with our finances. And it's just the alarm's going off. Now we have to make a decision to get in the basement. And how do we get in the basement? We protect ourselves. We get ourselves out of the bank and into something tangible like silver, like gold, so that we can be safe financially during this time. You agree? I mean, that's what it feels like as you're talking. I feel like the alarms are going off, just like a tornado is coming.
I mean, but this is the nature of God, to give us warning, to protect us, because he wants us to thrive, right? And I think it's that wisdom. It's that still small voice. It's that whispering in our ear. There's a problem. Get to safe ground. I mean, Stacy, as I watch even some of your prophetic shows, right? It's like, this is an ongoing message, even from prophetic voices, that the economy is collapsing. You yep. better get out of harm's way, right? And what is prophecy for? It's not to pound somebody down and say, you're wrong and you're going to die. No, it's to say there's problems, but I am a loving God that's full of grace. It's full of mercy. And I have a solution for you. You know, that's been the model throughout scripture, is here's the warning sign, but here's the answer.
Yeah. Amen.
Right? That's the nature. And so in the political world, in the economic world, the financial world, the spiritual world, all of these messages are coalescing into one, and it's, there is an answer. There is an yep. answer. And in the financial, I don't know what the answer is politically. I absolutely do not. I know what the answer is spiritually, always. Pray and go to Jesus.
Yep.
Right? But in the financial world, I can't think of any other answer right now other than allocating into tangible assets and get out of that system.
That is huge. So Flyover family, you can go to flyovergold.com. It's a place that you can fill out your information. When you do that, someone from Dr. Kirk's team will get a hold of you to set up a free consultation. It doesn't cost you any money whatsoever to get answers to the questions that you have and find out what your options are. Or you can call 720-605-3900. Again, it's 720-605-3900. The alarm is sounding. It's letting yep. us know there's a storm coming, and we're having an opportunity to put ourselves in a safe position. So Dr. Kirk, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it. This is a crazy time to be alive.
Well, just in our lifetime, used to be where you'd hear your grandparents talk about how cheap gas was and stuff. And it was 75 years before, 50 years you know, before.
And so we've seen a lot of changes since Biden took office. $700 more a month
than what you needed in January of 21 when he took office.
You might hear these kind of things and think, oh, that's overwhelming. I can't control the government. I can't control what they're doing. I can't control the spending. But we can take care of ourselves.
You want to make sure that you're buying bullion from somebody that you can trust and someone that does not charge you a commission when you go to sell.
If there's going to be a commission, have it on the front end, not the back end, when it skyrockets and now you're like, oh my gosh, look at this big, huge commission I got to pay because it's on the back end before I sell it.
You can buy an ounce of silver for $23. So this is something everybody can get into. And if silver goes to $50, if it goes to $75, if it goes to $100, all of those profits are yours. And that's happening while the dollar is buying less and less at the actual grocery store.
So you can go to flyovergold.com, fill out your information. When you do that, someone from Dr. Kirk's team will get a hold of you to set up a free consultation. It doesn't cost you any money whatsoever. Or to do the same thing, you can just call 720-605-3900. We hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Flyover Conservatives podcast with David and Stacey Whited. Please subscribe, hit the notification bell, and leave us a comment below. Lastly, if you enjoyed today's podcast, share with those who came to mind. Be blessed and make it a great day.